Please help us, Father, this morning. We need you and we love you. Thank you so much for your word. I pray that, please, you would help us. And, Lord, we have a very real enemy. Thank you, Lord, that you're greater in us than he that is in the world. And so, Father, I just pray that, please, as we walk with you, as we love you more, help us, please, to trust your word and to learn your word so that we can combat our enemy and stay strong for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 3 says this, My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. This is a lesson on the tongue here. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth, watch this, the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And then watch this, and it is set on fire of hell. God makes reference to the tongue. The tongue can be very damaging. Whoever came up with the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, I think was an idiot. Okay? I've had quite a few things said to me. I would really have just preferred that they just come up and just smacked me. I would have got the pain would have left a little earlier than the words and the damage and the cutting that it does. The Bible says the tongue is set on fire of hell. And if you aren't careful as a Christian, just like I've told you for the past three lessons, just like God uses people in your life to encourage you, you can be used of the devil to discourage other Christians or hurt the work of God. Satan doesn't come to you personally. Most of us, God doesn't speak to you, quote, audibly. God uses other people. However, I don't want to have a tongue that is used of the devil. Isn't it amazing? If you ever read this chapter and you think about it just for a second, the fastest way to get Christian character in your life is start working at how you control your tongue. Doesn't it say the little member steers the whole body? The helm steers the huge ship in the water? The little bitty bridle works the whole horse? You just tug. That little bitty piece steers the whole body. The fastest way to Christian character and discipline is controlling what comes out of your mouth. It's very important. Like, basic, vital. You can work on other parts of your Christianity, but if you do not control your tongue, the character that you lose from not controlling your tongue normally won't help the rest of your life. If I made a statement here, God does say the key to controlling the body is to control the tongue. Then wait a second. I've heard preacher make this statement, and I guess I'll never know, because praise the Lord, I'm not going to go in your house when you wake up. But preacher said, if you have a problem being at a certain place at a certain time, and you're always late, isn't that a character issue? What is character? Character is self-discipline, right? Character is the ability to make yourself do what you're supposed to do. Now, there's good character and bad character, but bottom line is, it's your own personal discipline. And if you struggle, you say, well, I need to fix being late in my life, or I need to fix this area in my life. If you apply James chapter 3, and you start focusing on your tongue, it's amazing how much the rest of the body follows. But if you don't control your tongue, you damage the rest of your character and your body. I'm going to read you a quote. When a believer, Dr. Jim Vineyard said this, when a believer is willing to speak freely about the business of others that is none of his business, then that in itself is proof that he or she is not attending to their own business. When a believer is willing, listen closely, is willing to speak freely about the confessed and forgiven sin of other believers that is under the blood of Jesus Christ, then that in itself is proof that that person is not attending to their own sin problem. We told you, what does the word devil mean? The accuser. That's what the word devil means. And I told you when we hit on that, I said, if I never found out anything bad about you, would that hurt me? If I believe the best about you, I don't damage me. It does not hurt me. Now, if you want help with something, I'd like to be able to, like others have helped me, I'd like to be able to take the Bible and help you. But if I don't ever find out anything bad about you, in other words, I don't need somebody informing me about you, and I won't listen to somebody talk about you. If you want to ask for help, you may do that, but we don't do it. You know what our staff meetings are like? I love our staff meetings here. If somebody is struggling in the church, here's 8 men in preacher's office, and on the first day of the month, there's 13 in there. When if somebody is struggling, a name is written and it's folded on a piece of paper and then it's slipped to preacher. If preacher says we need somebody to do this or to do this or to do this, it's not a gossip session. If preacher knows that somebody is struggling in the church, he doesn't bring it up to all the staff men. He writes it on a card to the person that he's going to ask help that person, and he slips it to them, but we don't. Do you understand that? I think it's awesome the way I love our staff meetings. It's not time to talk about church members. It's not a gossip session in the name of the Lord. Everything is preacher only tells the person having the problem and the person that can fix it. We don't all discuss how to fix something in the church. If we do, there's no names involved. And woe be to the staff man that brings up the name when it wasn't asked for. I love that about our church. The average church member thinks, well, if I'm struggling, then I'm sure the whole church knows about it. If it is, it's because you told somebody else that doesn't know how to keep their mouth shut. But no, everybody doesn't know. Everybody doesn't know. Now, let me give you just a few couple of points here. Be very careful about if I don't want the devil to use my tongue, and my tongue has the potential of being set on fire of hell and used of devil like anybody else's tongue. If I don't want that, then I need to be very careful about how I give my opinion. I can be pretty opinionated. But I always ask myself the question before I shoot off my mouth, one, is this going to help? Second of all, is there really anything that's going to be done about it? Let me give you an illustration of how if you aren't careful with your opinions. I know there are some people that are a little more controlling than others. And I get to be over several areas in the church. And so I went to preacher one time and I said, preacher, I answered a preacher on several areas. And one of the areas I said, what do you think about this man here helping in this area? And this is preacher's response. If you let that man, he said, that man is probably almost a professional. He's very good at that. But if you let him help you in this one area, he will so control it. He said, it'll disturb the spirit of the whole thing. So guess what? Because that man is always firing off his opinions. What'd you do that way for? You know, I wouldn't have done that. You know, one time we did. Look, if I'm in staff meeting, I still don't. I'll ask preacher a question afterwards. I'll say, can I talk to you for a second afterwards, preacher? You got a minute? And then if I give my opinion, it's never in a group. Because what happens when you shoot your mouth off in a group, and I think that's a little wisdom there that says, I don't want to bring question to the leader. I can even write my idea on a piece of paper, and what preacher does with it is up to him. But I don't walk away going, oh, he didn't use my idea. He thinks I'm an idiot. Well, I am. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of. I said that to say I thought it was sad that here's a very usable man in this one area, but he cannot control his tongue. So guess what it does? It disturbs everybody that he's around. Now, he doesn't cuss, he doesn't sound dirty jokes, that's not the issue. It's just authority is always on trial. It's always his way against whoever is in charge. And it doesn't matter. You could put him there, you could put him on a bus route, you could put him, and it doesn't matter. He's always going to cause strife because he doesn't know how to just... You earn the right to give your opinion. You know what I mean? And I think I can say this, and I don't think this will be bad. We have, I think, people that sing here. We have, it's 38. There's 38. If you combine all the groups and all the people that are in. So I'm the music coordinator guy, right? Ready? Well, preacher asked me, he said, one time, he said, this one singer here could use a little help, Brother Nash. Could you, just a little in this one area, could you help? And I said, preacher, I said, I don't think they want my help. Now, I don't know everything about music. Praise God. I don't know everything about singing. All I have is some experience under my belt. That's all I have. And I have a lot more to learn. But I told preacher, I said, that person I don't think wants my help. I said, I've kind of thrown out some ideas, just kind of, you know, hey, if you ever need this, whatever. I said, and nothing's ever done, nothing's ever followed through. And he said, all right. And that's the way preacher works. He never forces his leadership on somebody. I always figure if I had what somebody wanted, they'd come to me and ask me. I don't have to sell anything. I don't have to pawn anything off. Hey, won't you let me do that for you? Well, if they want my help, if they think I can do it well, then they'll ask me. Please be careful about your opinions. It really can limit how you are used because you don't want to cause strife where you're at. Now, let me show you something here. Today is on the tactics, and I wanted to just the tactics of the devil. And if I took you to, I tell you what, go to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Try to give you some things to think about here. 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. Forgot to put the extra I right next to the first and second. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Watch this. And the servant, I'm looking at verse number 23, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, and watch this. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord, you say, that's preachers, that's you. As you serve, and as you serve the Lord, that's you and me. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle or appropriate unto all men, apt to teach, patient, look at verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. You say, what are you getting at? Do you realize I believe the devil's a real person? I believe the devil honestly seeks to stop the work of God. The devil also is out to destroy every home and every family in here and every Christian. But wait a second. There's only one devil. There's not many. Now, he's got a force of demons. But I don't think I'm a spooky person. Of course, I'm sure every person thinks they're wonderful. But I don't think I'm spooky. I don't think I, you know, everybody, every bad thing I don't look at. I can look at when I'm trying to do the work of God. I think I can recognize Satan trying to stop or his demons. Like if I'm witnessing to somebody and their phone rings and they're just getting ready to get saved. Yeah, I think the devil used that. I think the devil can use that. But what I'm trying to get at you here is it says there are people who oppose themselves. And for the average Christian, I don't think the devil will come to you. Most of us, our greatest enemy is ourselves. Some people have established habits in their life that fight their ideas constantly, and they are opposing themselves. It's like I told you last week, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do anything. If you aren't careful, humanism and bad teaching can fill your thought life to the point where it starts controlling your actions, and really, it wasn't the devil. You just were under that influence from the world's teaching. You say, let me give you an example. I still love you if this is one of your daily things you do. I'm just throwing this out. For people who get a regular dose of Oprah Winfrey, okay, she's for the queers and all this other stuff and all that, your thinking is going to be messed up. You're going to be programmed. Now, I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just telling you, when you make yourself subject to the world's teaching and the world's ideals and the world's philosophies, you then start, because before you do, you think. And if your actions are going to be changed and what you do as a Christian is changed and how you live is changed, your mind has to be changed first. What we're dealing with in society, when over one third of America, over 100 million in America, don't go to church and have never been to church. Never. So guess where they get all their religious teaching from? Hollywood. They really think, because it had God or Christian or Bible in it, that that's a wholesome program. I mean, and they didn't need to go to church anyways because they got taught. Those type of people we are all going to deal with. You know what Christianity is, though? It's taking those people who've never come to church, inviting them to church, and while they fight themselves, helping them establish godly habits and loving them enough so that they can come to a church and grow in Christ. We're all going to deal with people that oppose themselves. As we bring them into the church and as we say, they're going to hear preaching, they're going to hear the Bible, and it's going to have to adjust their thinking. Well, watch this. There are people that oppose themselves, and watch this. If God peradventure will give them repentance or a change of mind to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You can establish such bad habits in your life that the devil never has to worry about you. That person is a slave to themselves. I never have to deal with them. They constantly fight. Look, you know what happiness is? Happiness is when what you do matches what you believe. If what you believe is one thing, but you don't obey it, that brings guilt and shame, right? That brings a lot of turmoil on the inside. What you do has to match what you believe for happiness to come into your life. All right? Now, I said that to say, let me give you just a few ideas on how the devil fights you. Number one, I think there were a lot of things that preacher gave us here for the lesson, but he wrote down one, sleeplessness. I think the devil can, like insomnia, if you struggle with insomnia, look, have you ever fell asleep while reading your Bible? I have. Wake up, and I remember I was in the Marine Corps, and I'd get up at 3:30 and read my Bible and stuff, and I'd try to get up before the other guys in the barracks would, and fell asleep one morning and got that drool spot. Anyway, I thought that was funny. But if you've ever fallen asleep while you were reading your Bible, after that, I didn't do it anymore. I learned if I'm that tired, I need to get up and walk around or something and walk and pray or walk and read my Bible, not kneel.
maybe I could pray laying down. Never mind. Yeah, that works real good too, doesn't it? But I honestly think that there are times when you wake up in the middle of the night. I've every time that happens to me, I always think, is there something the Lord wants me to pray about? And if I'm truly suffering from insomnia, if the pressures of life or whatever it is, if you get up and read your Bible, then I always think, well, if this is of the devil, it's going to leave real quick. And he won't wake me up again. And I'll read my Bible. If you ever do wake up in the middle of the night, you think, I think when you're sleepy and when you're tired, you can become irritable and rest and able to hurt other people, weak as a Christian. Let me give you another thing. Suicide. Satan tried to get Jesus Christ to jump off the pinnacle. Go ahead. Angels will catch you. Well, he tempted Jesus with suicide. Praise the Lord. Jesus did not fall for it. But I honestly think self-destruction or self-murder is the thought and temptation of Satan. When the teenage boy was listening to the filthy rock music, and he put the gun to his stomach, and he pulled the trigger as his mother walked into the room after she heard the explosion. Before he did it, he was dead set on committing suicide. As he died, he said, Mom, the voice kept telling me, and I'm sorry, I didn't want to do it. That tells me self-destruction or depression that leads to self-rejection to the point where you self-murder, I think, of the devil. That teenage boy, I think, really showed it. I don't know why I did this, and then the boy died in her arms. I think suicide and self-destruction, I think, of the devil. I think things that hurt your body, I think body piercing's wrong. Your body is holy. Some ding-dongs, put, pierce their, you know, then wonder why it gets infected. You know, and then the tongue. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. God says you're not to cut your body or mark your body, tattoos. Now, if you got one before you got saved, it's under the blood. But that's nothing Christians do. That's nothing. We live in a society that's almost bent on destroying themselves. I think that's satanic. Let me give you one little thought here, and then we're going to go. You got that piece of paper that we passed out to you here? Satan's battleground, just like this. Looks just like this. I'd like you to take this home. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to do with this. This is obviously something you would look at later on, but I'll tell you where that is. This is in our house. This is on our refrigerator. Okay? Sweetie, you didn't know I did that, did you? This is on our refrigerator. Satan's battlefield, you can go read it later on, is the mind. Because before you'll do a wrong action, you'll think a wrong action. And you get tempted in your mind to do wrong outwardly. Now, wait a second. If you'll read Satan's battlefield, it's logical point after point, and it'll show you. It'll show you. I think this is very helpful. Then if you look at the other side, resisting Satan and telling him to leave. How did Jesus fight the devil? He fought the devil, thus saith the Lord. It is written. You fight the devil with the word of God. This is what he runs from. So, when you find an area in your life that you're struggling in, you take a scripture. And when that temptation comes to you, you fight it with the Word of God. These are just some examples, okay? I hope this thing helps you. I really do. It's been a blessing in our home, and I love every one of you. And if you need anything, let me know. Let's pray, and then we need to get over to the service. Please, Father, thank you so much for your Word. Please help us, Lord. I pray that you bless our preacher this morning as he preaches to us. Open our hearts. Touch us, please. Make us stronger for you. And Lord, we just need you. Lord, the excitement of the conference and all that's coming up. And yet, Father, thank you that we're not a group to you. We're all individuals. And I just pray, please, you bless every home here in Jesus' name. Amen.